You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast. We cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 64th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, just about anywhere you can get your podcasts. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links that you need to help support and listen to this podcast. So we will start off this 64th episode of the podcast by talking about the action from round 3 in Serie A. Calcio was back after the international break, which we saw Italy draw 2 games and they won their last game over Lithuania. And they were able to push their unbeaten streak record to 37 games. Round 3 was just unbelievable. Plenty of great games and big matchups and entertaining games. So let's look at the good and the bad from round 3. And we will start with the good. Certainly, it was all good for Napoli in Naples as they beat Juventus 2-1. That game was on Saturday. It was the marquee game coming into this weekend and this round. Napoli controlled this game heavily in the beginning. Those first like 6, 7, 8 minutes, they essentially controlled the ball. Juventus were not able to get into any type of rhythm. But then eventually a Manolas error leads to an Alvaro Morata goal in the 10th minute. And Juventus took the lead out of seemingly nowhere. As I said, Napoli totally controlled the ball. Juventus got into no fluid rhythm or anything. But a Manolas error leads to a Morata goal. And I'm watching the game and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've seen this story before. Napoli playing really well against Juventus, but Juventus just finding a way to score, take a lead, and maybe go on to pull off the win and the victory over Napoli. And when Morata scored the goal, that's the thought that popped right into my head. Like, oh boy, here we go again. Juventus are just going to find a way to beat Napoli. But credit to Napoli, they continued to fight and did not put their head between their legs and feel bad for themselves that they gave up that goal, that they made a mistake. Matteo Politano, he scored the equalizer. And then late in the game, with about 5 minutes left in regulation, it was Kalidou Koulibaly who scored the game winner off of a corner kick. Kind of Moise Kean made a little mistake there on that corner to lead to the Koulibaly goal. A few players really stood out to me for Napoli. One of them was Koulibaly. He really did have an outstanding game. And I'm not just saying this because he scored that game winner. He was everywhere on the field in this game. Any time a Juventus player seemed to get the ball, like Koulibaly was there. He played an outstanding game defensively. Obviously, that's what we know him for. That's his job, number one. He made some great challenges, some great tackles. But we even saw him come forward more than usual. And he looked pretty good coming forward. He looked kind of comfortable. So we kind of saw a little bit more variety from Koulibaly other than just the outstanding defensive work he does. Koulibaly is one of the best people. I tweeted this out. He's one of the best people in the sport. And to see him really play well like he did against a tough big game like that, against a tough opponent like Juventus, and to score that game winner, it really made me happy to see that. You can't help but feel great for a player like Koulibaly, a person like Koulibaly. Again, forget the player he is. He just seems to be this outstanding person, which is obviously more important than anything related to the world of the cultural world. You think back a few years ago to that game where Napoli mounted that massive comeback against Juventus. I think they fell behind like 2-0, 3-0, something like that, and they came roaring back, but only to end up losing that game because Koulibaly scored that own goal, that heartbreaking own goal, deep into stoppage time that gave Juve that win. That was a couple years ago. I think that was in 2019. So to see Koulibaly, you know, kind of get some redemption in this game to score this game winner, it was certainly great to see. Another player that stood out for me for Napoli was their new signing, Anguissa, and I'm probably saying his name wrong. He came over from Fulham, and I'll be honest with you, I knew nothing about him when Napoli signed him. I have heard of him, but in terms of what type of player he is, really seen him play, I knew nothing. But I got to say, I was really impressed with what I saw from him in his first game. You know, here he is being thrown out there, first game with Napoli, playing a big opponent like Juventus, a big game, one that means so much to those Neapolitans. And he really put in a hell of a performance. He made life difficult for Juventus, their players. Particularly, obviously, was patrolling around the midfield, and he was breaking up the play. He was not allowing Juventus to get into any type of rhythm, and they weren't able to really string a lot of passes together. So it was really a great performance and a great debut for Anguissa. I thought Insigne played pretty well. Unfortunately, he had to leave with a bit of a knee injury. No word yet necessarily on the extent of that. If there was, I might have missed it. But Napoli are off to a perfect start. 9 points through three games, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. Spalletti has this side really responding to him and his style and what he's asking from his players. And I know their first two opponents, they beat Venezia and Genoa, who aren't exactly the strongest teams in Italy. And I don't want to really hear that narrative that, you know, well, they beat a Juventus side that weren't at full health. You know, Chiesa was out. The South American players did not play due to their international break and late return. But any time Napoli face Juventus and beat them, regardless of who's on the field, regardless of how healthy a team is or what lineup they're able to field and players are able to run out there, any time Napoli could beat Juventus, that's a massive win. And a win that will, you know, continue to build confidence in this Napoli side. And I posed the question on Twitter after the game. You know, I said, how legitimate of a Scudetto contender do you consider Napoli? I know some people felt that they certainly were going to be right there in the mix for a top four spot, but I don't think anyone really legitimately looked at Napoli as a Scudetto contender entering this season. And I think, you know, at least based on 3 weeks so far, and you're going to hear me say this a lot on this podcast and you know, for the next couple weeks, I know it's still early, but at least what we've seen so far, I don't see how you can't look at this Napoli side and say that they have as good a shot to win this Scudetto as anyone, perhaps that's not named Inter. You know how I feel about Inter. I've maintained that I feel they are the Scudetto favorites, especially when you consider the form that Juventus are in. I don't know how anyone could not look at Inter as the favorites. I know they dropped points to Sampdoria this weekend, which I'll talk a little bit about. But I would put Napoli's chances, from what we've seen so far, right up there with the likes of, you know, Juve, Milan, Atalanta, even if you want to throw Roma in that mix. Anyone else who you think may be a Scudetto contender, I think Napoli are on par with all those teams. The only team I put ahead of them right now is Inter. That's at least my thoughts, but certainly you could get at me on Twitter if you, you know, seemingly maybe agree. Maybe you think I'm overhyping this Napoli side after just three games, but I think they've looked really well. We saw them, you know, handle Venezia fairly easily despite going down a man. I know it is Venezia. They're not, as I said, the strongest team, but you essentially played that whole first game down a man when Osimhen got sent off. So that was not going to be, you know, it's never easy to go down a man and still play that well. So I thought that was a pretty good performance. They played Genoa, who, you know, Genoa pushed them pretty tough. So they faced some good competition in that game a couple weeks ago. And then, again, they fell behind to Juventus, but did not feel sorry for themselves. They fought back. They have a lot of talent on this team. I know certain positions like defense, they're not very deep at all. But I do think they have some pretty good midfielders when they're healthy, like depth-wise, attacking-wise. I was happy to see players like Petagna stay at the team because they're certainly depth. We haven't even seen Dries Mertens really for Napoli this season. Chucky Lozano's played a bit, but you know, it's really been a heavy dose of Osimhen, Insigne, and Politano. And Politano, again, he scored in this game. He put in a really good performance. He's been a nice revelation ever since joining Napoli from a couple seasons ago over from Inter. When they signed him, I really wasn't sure what to make of it, but certainly Politano has exceeded my expectations for what I expected when he joined Napoli. I know, you know, I'm trying to focus on the good right now, but I wanted to touch upon Juve since obviously we're talking about this Napoli-Juve game, and they certainly were one of the bads from this weekend. They only have 1 point through three games. No doubt that is the biggest surprise. There's no way you could come up with a bigger surprise through three rounds than the fact that Juventus only have 1 point. I know Juventus will turn this around. There's obviously no way they'll be this bad all season. It's just not feasible, especially with the talent they have on that team, because they do have plenty of talent. They have a great coach in Allegri. I have no doubt that they'll figure this out, but I don't think it's just necessarily as simple as that. Just the fact that they do have this talent, the fact that they do have a really good coach in Allegri, I don't think it's just that simple that it will get turned around, but I'm confident that they have the pieces and the coach in charge that will figure out how to charge it, turn it around. But, you know, again, it's not going to be as simple as they just show up to face these inferior opponents and they're going to come away with 3 points. We saw them stumble against Udinese in the opening round. We saw Empoli pull the shock 1-0 win against them at home in Turin. So that certainly, you would think, might have been an eye-opener for this Juventus side. And perhaps that international break was the worst thing that could have happened to Juve. Perhaps after that shocking loss at home to Empoli, the best thing for Juve would have been to get back out there the next week and play another game and try to redeem themselves. But then, you know, a bunch of the players went their own ways with the international break and their international duties across Europe, South America, even in the United States with Weston McKennie. So maybe that was the worst thing, you know, that could have happened, because then they had to come face this tough Napoli side in Naples. And certainly, you know, I know the scoreline read 2-1 and Napoli let it, you know, lift it too late to pull out the win. But all in all, Juventus really didn't play a good game. And Napoli were the better side, in my opinion, and deserve that win. So Juventus certainly have some questions to answer and a lot of work to do. I'd be lying if I, you know, if I said I knew what the sole issue was, because I don't think there's necessarily one issue with this team. But they're going to certainly need Dybala to step up, and not just step up and kind of be a leader of this team, but he really has to become like that guy. You know, he has to be that focal point on offense, that dynamic player that's not only, you know, maybe able to score 20 goals, but also going to get you like 10, 12, 15 assists, that type of player. We've seen him capable, playing at that capability in the past, but we have not seen that from him for a couple seasons. I know injuries have played a part, and, you know, people like to blame also the Ronaldo, you know, impact that, you know, he was not allowing Dybala to shine, and it was certainly a different dynamic there with those two together. But Dybala really has to step up, in my opinion, become that guy for Juventus to really turn this around. And then also, they're going to need Chesney to get himself right, because he looked shaky in this Napoli game. He's looked shaky kind of in all three games and has not really looked like himself. And if he's not able to find his confidence, he's not able to get into good form, and if he really becomes this liability for Juventus, it's going to be a much longer season perhaps than any of us could have expected for the Bianconeri. So certainly they need Chesney to get it together, and they're going to need Dybala to really become that elite player, that 20 plus goal scorer, 15 assist type player, in my opinion, to really solidify this Juventus attack, because they struggle. They've only scored 2 goals in 3 games. All the goals have come from a different player. There's been no one that's really kind of taken charge of the offense in the absence of Cristiano Ronaldo. And I've said it on the podcast in the past, losing a 30 goal scorer, a guy that averaged 30 goals over his 3 seasons with you, it was not something as simple as just snapping your fingers or plugging in a Morata, plugging in a Moise Keane, Dybala, Chiesa, all really good players, all players I like, and collectively I think they could be effective, but it's going to be a challenge for them to try to replace that goal scoring that they lost from Cristiano Ronaldo. So that was one of the bads, but I want to stick with the good. As I said, Napoli were my first good big win. Anytime they could beat Juventus, it's certainly a huge boost for them confidence-wise, for that city to really rally behind. But let's continue to roll with the good. If that Napoli-Juventus game was the biggest game this weekend, well, it was the Milan-Lazio game that was perhaps the next best matchup. And Milan were able to emerge victorious at the San Siro, beating Lazio 2-0. We saw the return of Zlatan Ibrahimovic making his debut for Milan this season, and he was able to score a goal, a fairly easy goal for him, one of the easiest goals he's probably ever scored in his career. So that was certainly a good for Milan, getting a big win over a tough, formidable opponent like Lazio, seeing Zlatan Ibrahimovic come back and make an immediate impact. I look at this Milan team compared to them last season, and I know for the most part, it's a lot of the same players, a lot of the key players, but they certainly have added some depth and some new players. Obviously, we know about the change in goal. They brought in Olivier Giroud, although he missed this game due to COVID. They brought back Brahim Diaz and Tomori, Tonali. So they extended those loans and made them permanent moves. So again, a lot of the same players, but I just look at this team for whatever reason and just their mentality and the way they almost carry themselves on the field, and I see a much more confident team and a much more legitimate Scudetto contenders. You know, last season, I know they were in first place for pretty much the first half of the season, and they were a really good side, and, you know, they finished top 4, got back into the Champions League, they had a good season, but I never really looked at them last season as serious Scudetto contenders. I just was constantly waiting for them eventually to give it away and for Inter to catch them, which is what happened. But I look at this team and I just like it so much more for whatever reason. I see a different team from a mentality standpoint. I look at Sandro Tonali and he's looked so much more comfortable this season. You know, his second season now with Milan, he certainly understands the expectations, what's expected of him. He's much more comfortable in that midfield. He's played well in these 3 games. Rafael Leao, who scored a goal for Milan in this game, he's also, you know, looks like he's maybe primed to make that big jump and really become that offensive player that Milan fans are hoping he could become. I love the depth that they have. Again, you look at that striker role, if Zlatan can stay healthy between him and Giroud, that's a lot of really good experience and a lot of goals that could be scored between the two of them. This is certainly a dangerous Milan side. They beat a good Lazio side. They held them goalless, and Lazio, I think, scored 9 goals in their first 2 games, which I think was a club record. Certainly probably one of the biggest goal-scoring totals ever in Serie A through 2 games and 9 goals. But Lazio, they did not really play that well. They did not show up. Milan definitely outplayed them. Lazio need to figure out their defensive game plan and tactics, because, you know, they can't be this poorly defensively and expect to be a team that could really compete for the top 4, which is obviously what they want to do with Maurizio Sarri, get back into the Champions League. But I thought it was a really good win for Milan. It was good for them to see Zlatan Ibrahimovic come back. Now, there was a little fallout after the game where Maurizio Sarri gets a red card. He was getting into it. I forgot the player on Milan. And then, of course, Zlatan Ibrahimovic kind of interjected himself into that little tussle. And even in the game, you know, he was on as a second-half substitute. He was getting into it with some players. And that's we know that that's who Zlatan Ibrahimovic is. He's a very cocky player on the field, and that's his whole persona. I mean, if he's an opponent, he's an opponent that you probably absolutely hate, the way he just goes about carrying himself on the field, his arrogance, and how he's not afraid to push a player around and get in their face and just act tougher than them. And, you know, he is bigger than a lot of players he's going up against on the field, so he kind of bosses people around with his size. But, you know, if he's one of your teammates, he's certainly the hell of a teammate and the type of teammate you want, and he's a great leader for this fairly young Milan team. And I just, again, I think all of that Ibrahimovic impact on this team, that confidence and that little bit of arrogance he's kind of instilled on this team and on his teammates and this fairly young team. And I, for whatever reason, I can't really put my finger on it, but I really do like this Milan team much better than I did last year. Certainly one big part of it, as I said, has been the player Sandro Tonali. He looks way more comfortable in year two with Milan, so they're certainly a force to be reckoned with. Perhaps the most entertaining game this weekend was the Roma-Sassuolo game, where Roma won 2-1 on a late game winner by Stefano Elshadary. On that late goal, deep into stoppage time, Jose Mourinho goes sprinting down the sideline to meet his players at the end of the field behind the goal to celebrate with his players and the Roma fans. It was Mourinho's 1,000th game in charge as a manager, and he certainly celebrated in his fashion with the late game winner, Elshadary, coming off the bench, scoring that goal. It was a highly entertaining game. Again, the most entertaining game of the weekend. If you have access to getting it on replay, perhaps here in the United States with Paramount Plus, you could watch replays. I would highly encourage you to watch that game if you missed it. The fact that it ended 2-1 is extremely shocking. Both teams could have easily scored 4 or 5 goals in this game. Plenty of opportunities, even for Sassuolo to score. So I know they lost this game 2-1, but just the game overall was a good for this weekend. By far one of the best games, entertaining games this early season. We've had a lot of really good games, a lot of great moments already, and it's only three rounds, old this Serie A season. Highly entertaining league. I love it. But a really good game. Domenico Berardi put in a good shift. Jeremy Boga put in a good shift for Sassuolo in those losses. Scamacca off the bench really changed things for Sassuolo, and you just wonder. I know Raspadori got the start. He's a heck of a player. You got Jeremy Boga. You got Berardi. There's so many good attacking options for Sassuolo. And I know Caputo, he left and joined Sampdoria. So, you know, you think if he had stuck around, just they almost had too many options. And I know that sounds like a good thing, but sometimes it could be a bad thing. You're keeping a player on the bench that really could make an impact. And in this case, it was Scamacca who came off the bench, and he really made a positive impact. He played a role in that Juric goal that at the time leveled it at 1-1. Berardi played a big part in that goal as well, getting the assist. But Roma, just at the end of the day, were able to pull off the win 2-1. Highly entertaining game. Again, if you have access to a replay of it and you did not get to see it live, I would definitely encourage you to go watch that. Venezia, they beat Empoli 2-1, so they get their first win of the season, their first win back in Serie A, their first points back in Serie A in quite some time. So they're worthy being mentioned among the good for Venezia. I talked about him last time on the podcast, Gianluca Busio. He looks like the real deal. I know it's only 3 games, and he didn't play in the first game, so he's only started in these last 2 games, but he's put in another really good performance. He's played really well. He's quickly becoming, you know, one of my favorite players to watch in Serie A and a much-watch player. I know Venezia necessarily aren't the biggest draw and a destination team to watch for a casual Serie A fan, but for me, watching Gianluca Busio has become almost much watch. He plays so fearless for, you know, being a teenager in Serie A for the first time, coming over from the MLS, not to disrespect the MLS, but certainly Serie A is a massive jump up. There's so much pressure playing in Italy. I know he's playing on a Venezia side that doesn't have high expectations, but Busio and his teammates don't care about that. They're certainly going to go out there and grind and play hard, and they have played hard this season, and they finally, you know, come away with these 3 points. I look at, he's just an absolute delight to watch. Not only does he make the contributions defensively, he's not afraid to get in there and make some tackles and play scrappy. He got a yellow card. He was getting some warnings. He certainly has to watch himself that he doesn't end up racking up a couple of red cards this season and costing his team some games because they go down a man, which I could certainly see happening. He's got to get himself more composed in that sense. But he's, again, he is fearless. He plays with a lot of confidence. He's almost becoming a leader on this team I believe he's just 19 years old, but also it's not just the defensive impact he makes. He loves to come forward and really could be a real threat in the offensive phase of the game. So again, Busio is a player that I would really watch out if you're a Serie A fan, and I would not be shocked if next season we see him playing at a much bigger club, or certainly at least a mid-table team, regardless if Venezia are able to stay up or not. Unless he wants to stay at Venezia and they're able to stay up, I definitely could see Busio moving on to a much bigger club next season. Udinese, they deserve a shout-out. They beat Spezia 1-0. They have 7 points already. The fact that Udinese have 6 more points than Juventus is mind-blowing. A really strong start for Udinese. The club decided to bring back Luca Gotti as their coach, a decision that I know they agonized over. It was reported in the Italian media that they were perhaps looking to move on from Luca Gotti, but they confirmed him at the end of the day. They stuck with him, and right now it's looking like the right decision. This side is playing really well. They mounted that comeback against Juventus in the opening round to earn that draw. Now they beat Spezia 1-0. So again, 7 points for Udinese out the gate is really, really impressive. One more good from this weekend was Fiorentina beating Atalanta 2-1. We'll talk a little bit more about this game later, but Dusan Vlahovic, he scores 2 goals, both on penalties. He's looking like he's well on his way to being another 20-25 plus goal scoring season. And certainly, Comiso's looking to lock him down to a new contract, and we'll see if another team, a big team, comes knocking on Comiso's door next summer for Vlahovic. You know there will be plenty of interest, but right now things are looking good in Florence under Vincenzo Italiano. To get the win at Bergamo against Atalanta, again, 2-1, an outstanding win for Fiorentina. Their only loss so far this season came against Roma, and Roma have looked outstanding. They have the perfect 9 points, but right now Fiorentina playing well. Again, beating Atalanta. Atalanta have not looked that sharp. Again, I'll touch upon that a little bit later, but La Viola with a big 2-1 win, so certainly the final good I want to mention from this weekend. All right, moving on to the bad from this weekend. Look, no team is obviously going to win every single game. That's just not possible. You're going to drop points along the way of the course of a season. That goes without saying. And that's, you know, what Inter did against Sampdoria, drawing 2-2. Sampdoria are a solid side. They have plenty of talent. They have plenty of veteran talent there, like Candreva, Quagliarella, some young guy like Damsgaard. There's plenty of talent on that Sampdoria side. They're going to be a tough team all season. They're not necessarily going to be an easy beat. And again, they were able to face Inter and earn a 2-2 draw. But the reason why I have Inter amongst the bad from this weekend, again, they're going to drop points. No team's going to be perfect. A normal 2-2 draw, maybe they wouldn't have landed Inter in my bad from this week. But the fact that Inter twice took the lead in this game, they took the 1-0 lead on a goal from Federico Di Marco. They let Sampdoria back in the game and equalize. Lautaro Martinez gives Inter the lead again. And once again, they allow Sampdoria to equalize. So the fact that Inter blow a lead twice in this game, a bit shocking to me. It's not very Inter-like, you know, especially when you consider what they looked like last season. They hardly blew leads, let alone twice in the same game. And they've looked good so far in these first two games this season. So, you know, definitely uncharacteristic for Inter. You understand maybe sometimes you get to the 1-0 lead and then you allow the equalizer. But once they took that 2-1 lead, I fully expected them to go on and win the game. But again, they allowed Sampdoria to equalize once again. Defensively, Federico Di Marco, he started in place for Bastoni. And as I mentioned, he scored a goal. He certainly made his contribution offensively, which is something we've seen him able to do from his days at Verona, the past two seasons that he spent with Verona. But he also, you know, he put in a good shift defensively. He made a big goal line clearance to keep the 2-2 draws. Perhaps Sampdoria would have actually beaten Inter. So it wasn't like, you know, just because they didn't have Bastoni. I know Bastoni's an outstanding defender. There's no doubt about it. But it's not like, you know, they still had De Vrij, they still had Skriniar. It's not like Di Marco is this absolutely horrific defender. He certainly is not at Bastoni's level, not even close. But again, that one little change to the defensive lineup, the defensive back three line, is not justifiable to blow a lead twice in this game. So I just wanted to certainly highlight that as one of my bads. The other bad is Atalanta. As I mentioned, they lost 2-1 to Fiorentina at home. They've struggled this season. They have not looked really good. Even their win against Torino to kick off the season, they did not look outstanding. This team is not playing to the same level we're used to. I know I had high expectations for this team, just as many people did. And again, it's early in the season. As I say all the time, it's way too early to obviously write off a team or to necessarily start anointing certain teams as champions and legitimate Scudetto contenders or anything like that. But you know, they think back, they've only scored 3 goals in 3 games, which is uncharacteristic of them. They're usually one of the best offensive teams in Serie A, one of the best offensive teams in Italy, in Europe. Again, they beat Torino 2-1 early on to start the season, but they did not look great doing so. Then they were held to a 0-0 draw at home right before the international break against Bologna. That's a poor result. And then, again, at home, they lose to Fiorentina. So two games at Bergamo so far this season, and they come away with just 1 point, scoring only one goal. It certainly has not looked like the Atalanta team we've all grown accustomed to, we've all fallen in love with over the past couple seasons with Gasperini. They did not really lose a lot of players. The only significant player they lost was Christian Romero defensively, which obviously is not necessarily going to have any impact on them offensively. I know there's been some injuries up front and whatnot, but again, it just has not really looked good for Atalanta, and they got the Champions League, obviously, competition starting up soon. You just maybe wonder if things are starting to catch up to them. A couple seasons in the Champions League now for many of these players that are not used to that at all. You know, playing in high competitive games in Serie A, like, you know, because they're fighting for a Scudetto, they're fighting for a top four spot, so they're really giving it their all. You just wonder if perhaps some things are starting to catch up to them. You could also throw out the narrative. Is Gasperini, I don't want to say losing the room, but is his message, is his cry to the team, his tactics, his way of motivating his players, is it starting to get old and stale? You see that sometimes with certain coaches, no matter how successful they've been in the past with a team, eventually, you know, sometimes you need a new voice, and I'm certainly not saying that that is necessarily the case just yet, but it certainly could be a narrative that at least I thought of. It popped in my head as a possibility. But again, I'm not saying that's the case. It doesn't mean Gasperini forgot how to coach. It doesn't mean these players have forgotten how to play. There's a lot of reasons. A lot of South American players that played in Copa America this summer. You have some, obviously, players that played in the Euro this summer. So I'm thinking it's more coupled with that. You know, the international competitions over the summer, the extra games that these players have been playing in the Champions League over the past couple seasons, players that are not necessarily accustomed to doing so. I'm wondering if it's kind of a bit of that. More so than, obviously, you know, Gasperini's message kind of becoming, you know, static noise in the background to these players. But that was my other bad from this weekend. Just really shocking to see Atalanta lose at home, and anytime they lose at home. I know they did play a good team in Fiorentina, but the fact that they have, again, just 1 point in their first two games at home is certainly surprising to me. All right, one final topic I wanted to touch upon. We have the Champions League starting up this Tuesday, and obviously Wednesday the group stage begins. Atalanta, they are in action against Villarreal. They have to travel to Spain for that game. Juventus play Swedish side Malmo also on Tuesday. So those are two Italian teams in action on Tuesday. Wednesday, Milan will face Liverpool. That's really a great game in terms of two iconic clubs, you know, with so much European pedigree and whatnot. So that'll be a cool special game, especially seeing Milan back in the Champions League after such a long time. Inter, they play Real Madrid at the San Siro. That'll be a fun game as well. Two iconic teams going up against each other. Carlo Ancelotti returning to Italy, returning to the San Siro where he made his name, but obviously against Inter, the team that, you know, his former Milan side obviously had a very big rivalry with. So that'll be some Champions League action. Again, really good to see that competition starting back up again. I know a lot of people jumping on the PSG bandwagon, especially after the, you know, the Messi signing, and when you consider how good Kylian Mbappe has been looking and just the absolute depth and talent that PSG have. They certainly have as good a shot as anybody to win this competition, no doubt about it. I don't know who I necessarily would be picking, but I thought in terms of the four Italian teams, again, I think Juventus must get out of their group. I know they're playing like garbage right now in Serie A, and they certainly, if they play this way, you wouldn't expect them to get out of their group. But when you look at who's in their group, Chelsea, obviously a formidable opponent, but then you have Zenit and Malmo. No disrespect to those two teams. Juventus must get out of this group. Anything less than reaching the knockout round would be an utter catastrophe, and one that I don't want to say could cost Allegri his job, but they have to get out of that group. Inter have a tough group playing, you know, they have Shakhtar, they obviously have Real Madrid, and they have Sheriff, the new boys in town, in the Champions League making their debut. I think, to me, it's a group that Inter should get out of, right? I look at them and Real Madrid as the two favorites to get out of there. Shakhtar Donetsk are a good team. Obviously, Roberto De Zerbi, the Italian, the former Sassuolo coach, he's now coaching them, and he did a nice job to get them to qualify for the Champions League. He had to go through the playoffs this summer to get them into the group stage, so credit to him. We have three Italian coaches in this, with De Zerbi at Shakhtar, Simone Inzaghi obviously at Inter, and Carlo Ancelotti at Real Madrid. So that'll be a very fun and entertaining group, especially for Italians with those three coaches. But again, I expect Inter to get out of that group, no doubt about it, them and Real Madrid. Real Madrid are a good side, but you know what? I could see Inter winning that group. if they take care of business against Shakhtar and against Sheriff. You know, they could beat Real Madrid at the San Siro. You go to the Bernabeu, you at least come away with a draw. And there's no reason to believe that Inter can't emerge as group winners, but certainly they have to get out of their group. As for Milan, they have a much more difficult group than some of the other Italian teams. They have to face Atletico Madrid, Porto, and Liverpool. That is not an easy group for Milan to get out of. If they fail to get out of the Champions League group stage, I don't think anyone could really kill them. But at the same time, would I be shocked if they're able to pull it off and get out? I would not be shocked, but those are four really good teams. Even Porto should not be overlooked. So certainly, you know, Milan and their fans are happy to be back in the Champions League, but not so happy about that very unfavorable group stage draw. And then Atalanta, the final Italian side, they have to face Manchester United. Obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo just went there. They have Villarreal, and they have Swiss side Young Boys. Manchester United, you figure, are going to get out of the group stage. Villarreal are a tough side. These Spanish teams are always tough to face. Coming into this, you know, season, when the first group stage was the draw happened, I would have told you I expect Atalanta to get out. But given how Atalanta have played and look so far in Serie A, as I've talked about, they have not looked like themselves. Very uncharacteristic. I could see them slipping up and not getting out. So again, I think at the minimum, Juve and Inter have to get out of their group stage. Absolutely have to get out. Milan probably have the hardest road to get out and reach the knockout round. Atalanta could. I think we could have three teams reach the knockout round, but I would not be shocked if it is only two. So we'll see what happens there, but just really excited to see Champions League soccer back, Champions League football back, Champions League calcio back, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, it's in terms of club soccer, club football, it's the absolute best competition in the world. So really excited to hear that Champions League anthem music. And again, I know it's always a hot topic when the Champions League rolls around. You know, do you support any Italian team in the competition, or would you refuse to root for a rival? So like, if you're a Milan fan, are you supporting Juve, are you supporting Inter, or would you rather see those Italian teams lose? Be sure to hit me up on Twitter whether or not you are one of those fans that just support all Italian teams, or you can't root for teams that are not yours just because they're competing in Europe. I know I talked about this on a podcast a while back. I'm of the mentality and the side that, you know what, I'm willing to support any Italian team that's competing in Europe, even if it isn't the teams that I support, even if it is a team that is a rival to mine. I just want to see Italian football as a whole really thrive and reach that pinnacle, reach the top of, you know, Europe again in terms of club football. We obviously reached it in terms of international football back in Europe, obviously this summer winning the Euro. So it would be really cool if an Italian side could win the Champions League. So again, I'm all in favor of supporting any Italian team, regardless of who it is. But I would love to hear your thoughts, whether or not you agree, or whether or not you think I'm crazy and there's no way you could ever root for a rival in terms of when they're competing in the Champions League. Be sure to hit me up on Twitter. Let me know at Italiano Calcio. So that will do it for the 64th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. If you feel like you know any friends or family members that would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast, please feel free to spread the word to help grow this podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.